Okay, so we're going to right start?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for attending our Traffic Council meeting May 31st, 2012. It is 7:04 p.m. I want to remind everybody that the meeting is being recorded. We're just going to go around and introduce ourselves. My name is David Moses. I'm a transportation planner in the planning department.
Danielle Delaney, committee clerk.
Jim Zanella, the transportation engineer for the Public Works Department.
Jay Babcock, the traffic division of the Newton Police Sergeant.
Jerome Graff, the citizen member.
And our fifth member is the alderman, Alderman Ciccone from Ward 1, will be joining us shortly. So we're going to go right into the first item of the evening, which is PC 6711. David Moses requesting parking restrictions as necessary and the installation of a bicycle lane on Walnut Street between Homer and Forest Street in the northbound and southbound directions. Can everybody hear me? So this item was partially approved and partially being held. The park was approved at the February 16th meeting. There was no parking on either side anytime on Walnut Street between Homer Street and Beacon Street. And then we are also, we had a trial, a 2-day trial, of no parking either side anytime on Walnut Street between Street and Forest Street. So we're going to begin with a presentation from our traffic engineer, and then we'll open it up for public comment. Jim.
Okay, so as David said, we're going to talk about a section of Wall Street that was between 4th Street to the south and Beacon Street to the north. Prior to the traffic council hearing in March, we had done some observations on what the parking situation was on Wall Street. Between Beacon and 4th Street on the west side is what most people were interested in. Typically 30 to 35 cars that were parked there. Most of those cars did arrive in the very early portion of the morning. And based off of license plates, about 63% of the cars were registered in the. And again, you know, they tend to stack up further to the south, closer to the forest, and move ahead to the very early part of the morning. And then as the day goes on, more and more go up further to the north. Also, just a little portion, Beacon and Forest on the east side, there is parking allowed between Carthage Circle and Lakewood Road. Typically, one or two cars is usually parked in between there. So this is just an example of photos that we took prior to the trial going in place. You can see cars parked up along the west side of the road. This is just a view from another angle that you get towards New York Dudley Street. And this is what it looks like today with those restrictions in place. Before we posted the no parking signs, we flyered cars that were parking along through there and we asked to alert the people who parked there that the no parking restriction was coming in. We also invited people to take place in an online survey. We only got 10 responses, so it's not a lot, but I'm just going to go through the results real quick. One of the questions we asked is what's your purpose for parking on Walnut Street, and you're allowed to park more than one. And everyone who responded said that they take the MBTA from Newton Highlands Station. One respondent also said they live in Newton Highlands. We got no one who said they work in Highlands. We asked why they chose to park on Walnut Street. 60% of the respondents said it's close to home, which kind of coincides with the 63% of the cars that were registered. And you know, 9 out of 10 said it's close to the MBTA. 7 out of 10 said other streets that they could have a park restriction, and 9 out of 10 said that they park there for free. Then we asked how long did we park for. As you see, most of the respondents are parking there for more than 6 hours. Only one respondent typically parked there for 2 to 6 hours. We also, just out of curiosity, asked if there was a permit program that would allow you to park on certain side streets. We asked people who were interested. Six people said yes, one said no, and three said yes. You can see the reason why we asked this is that the parking stations on side streets, they vary from street to street. On the west side, on the lower section, Forest, Hillside, and Zephyr, they all restrict parking on one side. Forest and Hillside have a 2-hour limit on weekdays from 8 to 6, and definitely does not allow parking from 7 to 9. whereas on High Street, you have 2-hour limits from 7 to 10 on weekdays. And as you get further to the north, some of these parking restrictions start to die down because the demand for parking is coming there obviously from the street. And if you get further north, of course, Parkway Circle is the resident parking, which I believe is putting around the time that both of them put in.
Jim, can I ask you a question? If you go back,
sure.
So we have Fisher and Lakewood. There's no restrictions on those streets?
Correct.
Okay.
We want to take a look at the crash information in this area. Prior to the restrictions going into place for the trial, the section of Beacon Street to 4th Street, not including the intersection of Beacon Street and respect, 10 reported crashes per year. In the 3-month period where the housing restrictions were in place, there was one crash on the stretch of road. Based on the crash report, we don't believe that had anything to do with the removal of parking. It's one park out rear ended when the driver in the second car got flipped off the clutch and didn't have time to stop. We want to look at some before and after speeds on Wallace Street. If you look at northbound, the before is in blue and the after is in black. You can see it actually went down northbound and reconsistent. Partially just has to do with the variability in traffic speeds on day-to-day. Some of that is just noise in there. What we're really concerned about is south on Walnut Street, because there was concern that by removing parking, we were going to significantly increase speeds on Walnut Street. You can see that after that parking is removed, that the mean speed did not change from before to after. The eastern percentile speed, however, did go up by 2 miles an hour. I would be concerned if that was a great jump, if we had a significant increase of 5 miles an hour or more, but a 2 mile an hour increase in interest for percentile speed and no change in your mean speed doesn't lead me to believe that the parking any longer has a significant impact on the speed and finally, we just wanted to give us an idea of what cycling is going on in Newton. You can see that between April of 2010 and May of 2012, we had 2 different counts on bicycling into there. You can see overall bicycling has increased. And something that has to do with just there are more people cycling across the city. And you see that on northbound Wall Street, so that number roughly doubled. But when we removed parking on southbound Wall Street, that number went up by approximately 5 times. So you can see that by not having the parking, that it is really encouraging and making it more comfortable to bicycle and pedal down.
How did you get that data?
Just based on traffic count data, it was pulled by some information as well.
Oh, good. Okay.
So that's all the information I have for the before and after stuff.
Thank you. Okay, so now we're going to open up the public comment period. I want to read a couple emails. We've got 6 emails on this that I'm going to summarize for the record before we open it up to everyone in the room. The first email was from a resident at 925 Walnut Street who wrote an objection to having a bicycle lane on Walnut Street. She lived at 925 Walnut Street for 37 years, objects to the fact that they would have no parking available for her children to visit and her grandchildren. It would make it very difficult for them to visit if there is no parking available, and they would have to walk some distance with small children. I've spoken to many neighbors who feel the same way. Bicyclists still are able to use Walnut Street and share the road with motorists, and I believe they have the right to do so. I don't understand why all the residents of Walnut Street would have to be inconvenienced for a few. If this law goes into effect, I believe the residents of Walnut Street should be able to get resident parking passes for family members to be able to visit. We have an email from Alderman Rice, the Ward 5 Alderman, who is in support of keeping the Walnut Street parking restriction in place, making the file permanent. An email from a resident at 4 Beverly Road has a strong interest in maintaining the parking restriction on Walnut Street. Eliminating the parking has made it much safer to turn onto Walnut Street from Dunkley Street. I strongly urge the traffic council to maintain the no parking either side anytime restriction on Walnut Street. Then we have 1073 Walnut Street. The removal of parking from Walnut between Beacon and Forest has had a positive impact for residents of Walnut Street and for residents of the side streets entering Walnut from the west side, many of whom have commented to me on how much easier it is to cross or turn onto Walnut. The added visibility has made pedestrian crossing feel safer. At the same time, I expected to see that I might see an increase in all-day commuter parking on some of the adjoining streets that do not have parking restrictions. I walked frequently in this area and kept an eye out for this potential problem. I did not observe more cars parked in places where they had been, where they have not been parking before. I strongly urge traffic council to maintain the no parking either side anytime restriction on Walnut Street. Then an email from 11 Dunkley Street wanted to voice support for continuing the parking ban on Walnut Street from Beacon to Lincoln Street. We have an email from 111 Wood End Road. They write, as two people who make the turn from Dunkley Street onto Walnut Street almost every day, we strongly urge you to continue the no parking either side anytime policy on Walnut Street. Before this policy went into effect, if you were turning onto Walnut Street from Dunkley Street, it was extremely dangerous. People were parking all along the west side of Walnut. Even if they were parking legally, there was very little visibility to either side for someone trying to make the turn from Walnut onto Dunkley. We would appreciate anything you can do to maintain the parking restriction. So those are all the emails we received. I want to open it up now to the general public to make their comments. Anyone wish to make a comment, just raise your hand, and we need to know your name and address.
My name is Heather Duffy. I live in Newton. I live at 169 in Winston in the Auburndale area. I am presently an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School and transitioning to a master's school. And I'm a single parent here in Newton. I live in New York. I'm a commuter who uses the MBTA. And just as a comment, I park there every day. I did not get any notification to change the plan. Just so you know what you can say. I'm actually very much in favor of leaving the bike lane. I think that's great because I'm a big proponent of a mixed-use community. I think that mixed-use communities can be the lifeblood of an area that has a business district like this, a residential district, and maintenance of the ability for people who need to commute outside of town to make a living, to be able to come back and live in the community and support the community. And so I would like to see some discussion of potential for alternatives, such as some side street parking is legal during commuter ability hours, so the restriction from 7 to 9 in the morning kind of kicks out to anybody who needs to get to work by 9, but limited, one side only. Heavy enforcement of things about driveways, hydrants, things like that. So I think it'd be really good for the community to think about something. Alternatives to the parking on Walnut, because as somebody parks on Walnut, people can also save parking there either. Getting out of that car was really dangerous because people, you know, the numbers I'm assuming are from the little things in the road that, yeah, whatever they're called. So you don't see an increase, but I tell you, they go really fast. It's scary to walk across Walnut. So I think that having a mixed-use community with bike lanes is really supportive. Pedestrian use through the business district is supportive. And use of the commuters to be allowed for limited time during the day to park so we can go to work and then come back and support our community.
Thank you. Other comments from the public? Yes.
Barbara Gordon, 286 Flight Gas, also a member of the New Highlands Area Council. And I have a lot of sympathy. I'm just saying walking this is under T, but I really think that the T is a great benefit to this city, and it shouldn't be limited to people who are on the same. And I would hope that the people who live on the side streets, like Dunkley and all the others would end that mention it, would also allow people to make use of the fact that streets are a public street. And we hope that there would be additional parking that they would mind people park on the streets so that they could other residents of the city to bring use of their after.
Thank you. Other comments? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm bringing your name and address.
I live on 21 Jackson Street. already had tremendous positive impact. It will be on the website. Not only is the member excited that we can keep it, the images to go up, but you're the number using it for these figures is already far more than the number of people who would otherwise park. Not only is it having a tremendous effect, it's using by the public at that big now as far as that increase was. And so it's just part of the way all the different people. That's very good. But it's further in the sense that you saw the northbound bikes that you said was left and southbound was higher. Southbound is where the night was in the evening. The northbound was very narrow, right? So yes, the answer is part of the answer to people's permanent ability. Yes, it is when they speak as an even bicycle name on the side. So they have to relocate the central and the sort of hidden.
Thanks for those comments. All right, your name and address.
There's a greater number of bicycles, a much greater number of pedestrians, and everything is considerably safer. My wife, my neighbors, everybody is really happy with it. It's incredibly much safer. There hasn't been a real congestion in the surrounding streets. They seem to have that these few parking that people absorb the majority of the parking and there are any negatives from the business owners in Ireland. So we all applaud this and hope that the parking restrictions will stay in force and the bike lanes will be the next thing. Also, we hope that the traffic council will be revisiting proper crosswalks that will hopefully have some kind of
stopping for safer parking. I'm Joe Sandalana, 1000 Wallace Street. A lifetime resident, I can recall the street for many times. I'd like to point out a couple of things. There's no question things are better. They could be even better. Denial of every owner of a home on Wallace Street. But how many those that have property that can contain them, both sides, double fronted on side streets, but how many those people have been denied? So we cannot have delivery with no parking any time. We cannot have a contractor come to our home. There are many opportunities that have been denied to us that have been in place for years, even when it was Route 128. So it's a situation which I think has been lost in the issue. I'd like to point out that there has been definitely an uptick in traffic, although the gentleman was across the street from me. I've noticed an uptick in traffic, but I'm not on the other side. There was a death that occurred on the road, cyclist, this Saturday at 2:30, which doesn't seem to have been mentioned, that there has been a change in the whole atmosphere. There was a death that occurred on
the road. No, wait. Not to see. So, let's not...
Well, very serious thing.
Okay, that's fine.
So the safety of the street is in question. Now, I'm all for the bicyclists. The majority of the kids are not bicyclists. So am I. What's the next point? I like the bike. I ride on the cycle, which is permitted by the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Right on the street. The street is unsafe for bicycles. There's proof last Saturday it occurred. So my request is to change the site regime to accompany the original purpose of this meeting where we had a restriction of parking. It had nothing at all to do with bicycles. It had to do with the continual upheaval of traffic, of parking, not allowing people to act in a strong situation with double parking all along the street, not double parking, but parking on both sides all the way down the street. I propose that we make a 2-hour parking lot. It would solve that problem which was originally brought us. If this is about a bicycle lane, which can't be a lane, it can be a bicycle share lane, because it's not the dimension required by the federal statute. So again, my name is Joe Sandalana, 1000 Wallace Street.
Thank you. Is there
I just want to address the bicycle accident. It's not privy information, so I'll make it short and sweet. The gentleman had a medical condition. He collapsed and hit his head and broke his neck. It had nothing to do with the car, nothing to do with the sidewalk. So he had a medical condition, collapsed, and fell. So he's a self-induced coma. It has nothing to do with cars, bicyclists, pedestrians, or anything. It just happened. He's at the wrong time at the wrong spot.
Thank you for clarifying that. Jim, is there anything you'd like to mention on the rest of Walmart Street?
The width of the road is wide enough to accommodate 2 travel lanes for cars and 2 in a bike lane in each direction.
Thank you. Yes, hi.
Can someone explain to me comment on two things? One, the MBTA lots, they are available. My cost right now, the going to work, is $60 a month. Which, if there were a parking permit for residents, wasn't as much as MBTA, I'd be willing to pay that. MBTA parking lot triples my cost. And a single parent going back to school, outdoor for 10 hours. I just can't think what it was. End my home. And I would have to drive somewhere. I think it and so the MBTA lots are not, because they don't have long, you can't even get a bunch of cats. Every day is done, come up with that change. It's not really a good solution for any of these large communities. The other thing I wanted to comment on is going back to the mixed use. Studies both in Europe and here, in England and even in London now, show that the presence of bicycle lanes mixed with the use of automobile lanes, long-term parking, short-term parking, pedestrian walkways, and businesses, both traffic and just increased accidents in the city are significant amounts. And Leeds and Highlands is right for being that kind of community. As long as there are restrictions to the amount of time people can park so that the community can have people running all over their yards in the middle of the night, and that there's reasonable use of the community parking. Somebody can say use. I think I'm a good commuter. I try to pick up garbage when I can. I don't park in my driveway. I'm only 15 and no car. I'm just going to park my people's driveway. It's important to be a good commuter. It's important to be present. It's important to be using my kitchen. And I'd like to see this community as part of it. It makes things different.
Thank you. So I think we're about to close public comment unless Ken has something that you'd like to say. Your name and address.
Okay. Thank you, David. I'm Ken Parker. I live at 965 Walnut Street. I'm sorry I've just come in to say important responsibilities coaching T-ball. Got here second, okay. I appreciate the members of the committee opening the meeting up to public comment, and I just wanted to add to the comments that I made at the last meeting where I expressed concern that the parked cars were acting as traffic to calm traffic and reduce speed, and that if they were removed, there might be a faster speed on the street. I don't know if there was any study done. I didn't see the tubes on the street. But I can say anecdotally that at least the peak speeds are up considerably, much more than I fear. Their cars, they don't stop in the crosswalk anymore because the traffic, there's still plenty. The vast majority of drivers are very courteous and obey the law, but the peak speeds are now at the point where people are physically incapable of stopping at the crosswalk when they see someone enter the crosswalk because the cars, particularly the constriction effect along where the commuters are parking, but also even having one or two cars parked on the opposite side across from my house down closer to the aqueduct would have the effect of slowing down traffic considerably. And it didn't take very long for people to figure out there weren't those obstructions and for them to pick up their speed. I don't know the details. I've heard that there was an accident recently. I know that there have been a lot of accidents historically on the street, particularly prior to when people started parking on the street. I don't want to see the street going back to being what was essentially a highway, a speedway. It had much more of a residential street feel with cars parked on it. Felt a lot safer, more like a neighborhood street and less like a highway. And I think that I very much appreciate that the Traffic Council chose to do a trial. The evidence that I've seen is that the trial indicates the street is less safe without the parked cars, and so I hope that the members of the committee take that into consideration and decide not to make the trial permanent and to restore at least some parking, even if it's for restricted hours, you can't park more than a certain amount of time or certain areas of the street, obviously keep it away from corners, but I think some parking on the street has a very positive traffic calming effect.
Thank you. I'm happy to talk to you later on about whatever you missed before you came in.
Well, thank you very much, David.
Yes.
Before you close the talk, I use that for that hold up. I'm here because my teenage son gave me an alarm. He told me that among the movement that this street had potentially been hard to do I agree.
Martin. Thank you. So we'll take one last comment.
I'm also a professional in the municipal. I've observed a lot of these factors in the area. I think the picture of artists is coming off. There's one reason to talk about using the car kind of along the street to be able to go to the team to go downtown. There's a lot of good stuff. Just right on the river. Because the river bus service on Walmart Street, very dependable. And I've been using the bus service here in Newton for 37 years that I've lived here. And to allow people to park in there, it's one woman said it's very difficult to do, and it turns into a very poor visibility. But I have one picture correcting the front headman along the parking with the bus service. That's what the we know that we are facing things like what people call energy shortages, and we're getting wind shortages. And every car we take off the road is going to make things easier for us and every other reason. Which David has done a great job of putting forth this proposal of no parking. Now, as far as having the lawyers and the district team, this probably don't come every day. It probably only come every month. And there are side streets where you can park, and there's no reason to think that someone can't walk and block or even if some parking is allowed on side streets that have limited parking, not all day long, and most of the cars out there are short from the spring, that maybe was on and off that street. So to cut out, to allow all unlimited kind of parking, and that is just in the thousands of corners. Why is so ridiculous? Because all you have to do is, as long as some people lost park for an hour or two, they can directly go completely paint the outside of this gentleman's house by leaving off all their rugs and all their paint and park their truck or something like that,
I'm not suggesting this parking game limit. I just wanted to follow up making a point that was raised at the last meeting. That 85th percentile speed is not the speed we're concerned about. At least, as far as I'm concerned, it's the top 5% that are the irresponsible drivers. I'd say 95% of people are very responsible. So the 85th percentile isn't really, and I just said that before the study was done. That was really what I'm very worried about. I'm worried about people that go really fast and actually just can't go as fast when there are parked cars there, and they're the ones that turn that when there isn't an obstruction, make the street feel very unsafe. And so I wouldn't be persuaded by those data.
Jim, did you have a chance to look at there was any change in the top speed? Of course, the width of the lane would be narrower.
Correct. If this were to pass, the lanes would be reallocated. It would encourage lower speed.
Okay. So last comment from George.
I just wanted to convey a comment from Bob Rudy, who's on his way out the door of his daily bicycle commute, the chief operating officer of Newton. He bikes to work and bikes down that stretch of Walnut Street. He mentioned to me how much safer he feels that he now has a lane that's open to the cyclone without having to make it up with traffic.
Thank you. So thank you all for your comments. We're going to close public comment at this point and take the discussion to the members of Traffic Council and the aldermen in the room. Comments, motions, discussion, Jerome?
I wish we docketed this item. And I initially docketed this item, so I support it. And after the trial and the data that Jim collected, I support it even more. I think that it is borne out the expectation that some of us at least had. And I just think that it's an improvement for Walnut Street in terms of safety for all users. The cyclists, pedestrians, in terms of lines of sight crossing, the speed, I have to go on with what Jim had presented, and the roadway capacity, the designation for space for making it more comfortable and the perceived and actual safety of riders. That's going to spur more. It has about five times on the southbound section. More riders means a safer cycling environment. I think it's good for Newton Highlands. I think it's good for the neighborhood, and I don't think that it's a hardship for T users, given the opportunities for alternative parking within the neighborhood. And, you know, we can and probably will be looking at those areas soon, as Andrew talked about, the islands and maybe just in traffic council actions otherwise. But I think it's a terrific plan, and I'd like to make a motion to approve it. Let's make it permanent.
Okay. So we have a motion to make the no parking either side anytime between Beacon and Forest permanent. Any other comments? Have some more comments. Alderman Scott.
If we're going to start doing this, then I say we take away parking on every street in the city. Simple as that. I just don't think it's fair. You've got people who have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for homes that were able to park in front of their homes, and now you're going to start taking away their ability to be able to have, as I said, the landscaper come. You tell me what landscaper is going to park on one side of the street or on a side street and is going to walk their lawn mowers and all their equipment and lug it all over to this guy's house. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be the burden on the homeowner, because if you get somebody to do that, they're going to have to pay extra. Okay, that's number one. Number two, handicapped people. Now you got someone that just wants to go and visit. Maybe it's a wheelchair there that has to pull up somewhere. Do you think it's going to be that safe for them to have to cross the street or have to go from a side street to these houses? So I'm just saying, if we're going to get into the business and start taking away the ability of people to be able to park in front of their houses, you know, and I say this in true sincerity, I think that it's a great thing that we have the bike lanes and things that we're doing. If, in fact, we're going to keep taking away from the people who own these properties, what's the city going to do in return? What are they going to do in return? How are they going to pay this back? I know, just for a perfect example, my former colleague, is sitting in the background, he made his statements pretty clear. But he also did say something, I mean, he didn't bring up something that I think is pretty substantial. For him to be able to go and have people park on a side street, he can't. The closest place is Comedy Circle. There's all kinds of restrictions there. So you tell me, you know, I just want to hear what fair is fair. If they're going to start taking all the parking in front of people's homes, it should go throughout the whole city. Simple as that.
Other comments? Okay. I'll say that I support Jerome's motion, but I also recognize that we are removing something from the residents of Walnut Street, and we need to recognize that, and we need to think about what to do. And, you know, and we've been thinking over the years, as Ken well knows, about some creating some type of permit program that would allow the residents on Walnut Street and maybe some commuters or some employees to be able to have a permit to park on a nearby street. Maybe Carthay Circle needs to change the restriction along with many other streets in the neighborhood. So, you know, we are making progress on this. We've been working very diligently in the area around Newton North. It seems like that neighborhood is going to go first.
We should
be thinking about Newton Highlands maybe next, or Offendale is another example.
David, we should be thinking about doing these things before we start doing the studies and start doing and making changes. Have these things available beforehand, before you start taking those liberties away from the people who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars for their homes where they live in. Some people have been there 37, 47, 50 years old, and you're going to start telling them that they can't park in front of their house anymore. They can't have deliveries anymore. They can't have people come and visit anymore. There's a perfect example right there with Carthay Circle. That's right. If it's going to happen throughout the city, everybody loses it. That's the only fair way to do it. Okay? You want to take away from one? You take away from all.
Other comments? Alderman Dapper.
Thank you. I apologize for not being in a few minutes late because I've been in a meeting in town hall. But as most of you in the room know, I was the lead author on the first bike lane that we really had within the city. There were bike lanes that were kind of BC and went down to Boston. But we adopted the first bike lane along Eaton Street that is now on both on the street and has worked out very well. So I'm very much in favor of bike lanes. On Walnut Street, I've seen two distinct areas where there has been a lot of parking, largely commuter parking, and I'm sure some employee parking on the map from Dudley towards the south. Thank you. But between Meeting Street and several streets headed south, the houses are different than the houses that are farther down because many of them are built right either next to the street or are pork chopped in such a way that they can go from a narrow driveway that doesn't allow for much parking at all in those driveways. And I understand, I really feel that we have created a safer situation between Dudley and Curve. Having taken away the parking. But I can see it as a hardship for the homes that have very limited parking, that have no ability to even park in front of their homes to load their grocery, offload their grocery, or bring their children in, especially in the wintertime when the weather is bad. And I think that in the winter when the weather is bad, when people are most likely parking that's close by, and that's right near their home, that way we probably have fewer bikes. And I don't know any way that we can make that issue work. But I do think that I want to see the bike lane, but this might be a situation where we ought to have a shared street, at least on one portion of, on that portion of Walnut Street, where it would be a much more of a hardship for the residents that have done the same way. So I will lay that on the table. I was interested in all of the discussions that was here. I appreciate the value of moving toward a bike-friendly city, and I think that Walnut Street is an important street to have bike lanes on it. But I can see the push-pull between residents for whom it will be a hardship to take the parking away 100%. So I would be in favor of a shadow situation, putting the bike lane in, but at least on one portion has no share.
Thank you. Other comments? We do have a motion on the table for approval. And any other comments before we take a vote? We need to recognize that there is a 20-day appeal period. If this vote gets appealed sometime between now and June 20th, it would go directly to the Public Safety and Transportation Committee for the board to discuss and take a final vote on. An appeal could be filed by any one alderman, any member of traffic council, or by a group of residents living on Walnut Street. We're ready for a vote. All in favor of making the trial permanent, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 4-1. So that passes. The signs are not going to be removed. We do have the 20-day appeals period. If it does get appealed, I think the signs would still stay up, and it would probably be over the summer sometime that this item would go to PSMT, Public Safety Transportation. Thank you all. Let's go on to the next item then. Is anybody here for HP 411 to 974 Walnut Street? Handicap? Anybody here for that item? What item are you here for? Are you here for a particular item?
Yes.
Is this for the church? Okay. Okay, so we're going to skip HP 411 for now. Is anybody here for HP 112, which is 1083 Walnut Street? The handicapped parking space request for 1083 Walnut Street. It's agreed. Is anybody here for that item? Okay, we'll skip that for now as well. We do have people here for HP 212. That's the request for the handicapped space at St. Paul, right? Okay. So we're going to move on to that item. This is HP 212. Alderman Bamber, Blitzer, and Schwartz on behalf of the Parish of St. Paul at 1135 Walnut Street, requesting one handicap parking space in front of 1135 Walnut Street on Sundays only. Alderman Bamber, do you want to say anything at this point, or do you want to wait for the presentation?
HP.
This is for the slaves that are called.
Oh, yes. I would just like to say that I am in favor of this. I think that it would be a step in the right direction. I think that there are people who, for whom it is a hardship, that they don't have HP parking, that they have parking of the church. And
I already read this for the record. They're requesting hand test space on Sunday only.
Okay.
We don't have any examples of handicap parking spaces only on Sundays. But let's go ahead and have the presentation. Did you want to speak now? Well, I think we should have the presentation now.
So the request was to add a handicapped parking space in front of 1135 Walnut Street. And it's only 1135 Walnut Street is here, south of the bend, south of 4th Street. You can see it's kind of a mixture of parking regulations in the area. Right for the church is the our 1 hour meters, which operate from 8 to 6 on Monday to Saturday. Bring us in north by the triangle. There's actually a handful of totally unregulated spaces, which typically don't really use the meter. The side streets each have their own 2 hour restrictions on one side. this is the approximate area of our possible area that we can consider to add space. And you can see this is a meter space, which actually isn't painted out, which we have to paint out. Again, this is the area that the space is playing out the course here. We want to move it further to the north, or further to the south, I'm sorry, somewhere in here. These are those four spaces that are unmetered, which we could also consider adding any of parking in there. And based on this, I'd like some more input from the proponents for this.
So I asked at least five times to hear what the result was from the mayor's, from the Commission on Disability, what they recommended. I never heard that. So I really don't know what they recommended.
I'm Rob Lynch, the co-chair of the Commission on Disability. He did their bananas, we approved this, and it's part of the business to get their bananas from our commission. We approved this, and he wants to pay now. So he needs to change the slot, either in the slot or a live drop also. He will give me an application to the church. The traffic method is considered the handicap spot that goes in the county church.
So what you guys recommended was either permanent, non-permanent handicap spot, or a large drop-off zone?
There seems to be a number of people in the church that need to be dropped off, and that's why
we suggested that. Okay. I mean, we're going to move to public comment then. Anybody from the public wish to speak on this item?
Group Gregory, 296 Lake Ave. I'm also a member of the area council. I think if this is the restriction for the handicap for, I think, his availability was for a limited time only on Sunday, I think that would be okay. But losing space 24/7 would be really bad for people that are using our business district.
Other comments?
Yes, sir. Scott and I are attending the oral statement. Not planning here. Working for the state, I mean, having to deal a great deal of the time, but accessibility is finding the notion of it being somebody only.
Right, right.
Because people who need accessible spaces don't need them only in Kenya. We need them all the time. And I know there are other programs at the church that happen very quickly during the day. And why would you restrict the access to other activities by not having the accessible space then? There's a logic gap to it.
Thank you, Sal. Other comments?
Yes.
Of course. You just need to know your name and
address. I'm from the St. Paul.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we requested this space because we have a Sunday morning people at church. There's a number of people from the struggling, from the ride. We need to get dropped off in a van that brings the wheelchair out onto the sidewalk along with it so that she can come to the church. We have other elderly people that get picked up and brought to the church. And it's dangerous because right now they're getting their double parking. The cars are double parking and dropping people off, or else the handicapped van is pulling in on the public driveway. So we had asked for a handicapped space. We had asked for all the time, but the Commission on Disabilities, and I think Denver said that that we shouldn't ask for 24 hours all the time to stay for the setbacks that impact in the area where there's no street parking anyway. So all the, I mean, of course we have other events, but we have most people that need handicap access coming on Sunday morning.
Let me ask a question. How would you say how many vehicles are at the peak time are dropping off or picking up at the same moment. So you might have four vehicles double parked on Long Street at the same time.
Well, I mean, it says in the model. Yeah.
Okay.
And we were, I don't know what's going to happen, but the parking space is pointed out. That's the one that we actually like. Not the one, not right in front of 1135. But there's, the church is a little ways up.
Yeah.
But this thing would be perfect because there's actually room for big buildings for two cars. Even
and these are not vehicles, no, just people who are parking there. They're being dropped off of the stuff, and then the vehicle leaves.
Okay.
Yes, off the deck. Yes, on the deck.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question. I'm sorry I forgot your name. Please. When is your meeting not on Sunday? Do you have what we want for the convention that there are programs and things that the church that where there might be? There's not that much going on during the day, during the week, at the church. We used to have a yoga studio here, but there's not a yoga studio. Okay, thank you. And then I would have a question for the My question would be, is there any way that we could create out of the space that we see where there now are no designated parking spaces, a loading zone where handicap vans could stop and offload and perhaps one permanent AC parking space that would not be taken away from the existing parking?
So that's what we'll be talking about when we close public comment.
Okay. Is this space going to be available for church only?
We haven't had a chance to discuss it yet. After we hear from public comment, we'll close public comment and then discuss what we're going to vote.
My point is, they're finding a lot of businesses not far away. Within the 200-foot dimension, it's supposed to be between the handicap space and the business that could make use of the accessible space. Accessible space being the current part of the space, by the way.
Are there other comments before we close the public comment period?
It's a bit ironic that you're asking for a handicap parking space because across the street from the church entrance, there's no parking except on Sunday. And quite frequently, people who park there on Sunday are parking on the sidewalk, making it totally unaccessible to anybody passing, especially handicapped people, because I have friends who stuck in those scooters. So I don't find it like parking out on the street.
Is the parking restriction on the opposite side of Walnut Street? No parking except Sundays?
Yes.
Or is that the sign? Is that actually, I'm wondering if that's actually a regulation or if it's someone just put up a sign.
I'd have to look to see if that's the actual regulation.
Okay. It seems like an unusual regulation for me.
Well, I mean, it exists in some areas around specifically churches and things like that. But,
well, I guess if we just... Well,
it is illegal to park on a sidewalk, though.
Yeah. Right. It's a typical offense. Okay, so thank you all. We're going to close the public comment period on this. And comments from the council. Jim.
My preference would be if we are to make... an accessible space that it'd be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not just for a certain time period or for a certain day.
Okay. public comment.
Right. It seems the petitioner really just needs multiple vehicle drop off for peak episode that occurs once a week. I'd like to try to accommodate that. If we go with a permanent space 24/7, anyone with a placard can use it 24/7, yes. But every petitioner understands that once an HP space designated such, anyone with a placard can use it. Not necessarily, or it's not always used necessarily by the petitioner. You just treat the universe as potential users of that space as well. But I'd like to see if we can just address the need requested, because balancing that against the impact of the village and other uses of that space when it's not needed, per se, it's not even requested. I saw the logic disconnect too, but now I understand it, and I'd like to see if it's try to accommodate it. It seems too rigid to say, yes space, no space, when we really just need Sunday access. This is a way we can keep the space available for all users, and the system doesn't really need it. I don't know. I guess I respectfully disagree with one space and no space. Okay, space and no space.
So I noticed that we have just to the left of the fountain, we have that row of four vehicles that is totally unregulated. There's no meters there. There's no parking restrictions there. And seems like, what do you guys think about just putting up signs there that make it a loading zone or, some that is it close enough to be useful to the church?
I think so. I mean, the other spot would be better. I think we've also talked about that area.
Mm-hmm. What do you guys, what does the council think of that option?
I think that would be a good alternative. I mean, you could put up a, pick up and drop off only Sunday from 8 a.m. to noon or something like that, and those spots can still be used later in the afternoon when presumably the church isn't in use, and they'd still be available during the week and all the time. So.
What are you saying? Take away more parking for people in front of the houses?
just on Sunday mornings. So it's just Sunday from 8 a.m. to noon.
Well, we don't need all four.
Well, we're talking about public resource.
There are vehicles that are double parked on Walnut Street on Sunday morning.
We have potential hazard right now, safety concern. I think we have a viable need. I guess I'd like to compromise. Did I answer your question? If not four spaces, but at least a drop-off place for folks in need there. It's only temporary. I mean, we have drop-off zones at schools. It's understood as temporary and as a predictable pattern, and this is similar in a very temporal way.
I don't know if you park there on Sunday morning. Probably people who are going to church, they would have to park somewhere else.
To me, it's looking at the benefits of that first car, the blue car, which is a north turn, is whoever's parking there, service, a company, whatever, they're away from the limelight of the turn to get back to it. The cars are coming down, going southbound near the island. Not everyone's experienced drivers there. So you're coming into those blue zone where it says, Hutchins. So here are the parking here on Sundays, Saturdays, Mondays, whatever your event is. These people come in here, if they're normal drivers, they're fine. But if they're not normal drivers, they come down to the speed here in the corner. my concern is with a handicapped person being unloaded here. It's probably going to hurt yet, but I'd rather have them over here and unload and have them be assisted into the church. This, to me, is more of a safe area, safe haven, where you have less traumatic issues going on, where the driver's on a good driver, he's a little bit out of the roadway, and parked outside the normal parking space, you're not going to have any interaction with cars coming down the south town. If you're looking at that, I would have no problem with that. On a temporary basis, meaning I'll pick up and drop off. Mm-hmm. I'd rather get them away from Walnut Street and into that dead man zone over there where it's no one's really traveling at a high rate of speed or taking a turn or anything like that.
Does anybody know the name of that? Is that actually Walnut Street? That little section?
No. I don't know the legal name of that section. I'd have to look it up.
Okay. So is it front of the household? In response to Jay's concern,
I'm pretty sure that these have Walnut Street address. This is the Walnut Street address right here.
And the one to the left there, but we're at corner porch.
This one I don't know. A lot yard. That's just it. I don't have the lot lines up on here, so I
don't. And Pearl Street is unrestricted on Sunday. Forest Street. Okay, so
Forest is restricted. No parking on
Monday through Friday.
The Sunday. I'm looking at the red. I'm sorry. I didn't get that quick.
The south side of Forest Street.
The south side of Forest. Yes.
There's an opportunity for people to park on Sunday.
Yes.
I'll make it a motion, I think. We also, you know, if we do a handicap space, we need to remember that there's no appeals process. So,
I'll listen to your motion.
Okay. I think I'll make a motion to create a pickup and drop off from Sunday from 8 a.m. until noon. That section of how do you describe
I think it's still technically Walnut.
The section of Walnut Street to the left of the path.
Where are these spaces?
I don't know how many spaces are there.
I'm calling it four. There's four today.
Okay.
Are you making a motion to make all four for those spaces?
I think so.
All four handicapped?
No, it's not handicapped.
A loading and drop off?
Drop off is on Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to noon. Jim.
David?
Alderman Stafford? Yes?
I just have a question, again, of Lee, as to what your need is as far as how many spaces. Would it be better for you to have two spaces for pickup and drop off? And two phases for people to park on
the other morning. Okay. So, I think I'll amend my motion. To create a pickup and drop off only on Sundays, 8 a.m. to noon, for the last two phases.
No.
First two phases.
As well as cutting south down the last two phases. On Walnut Street to the west of the passing.
I'm doing this right.
Put blue highlighters at the spot. Does that make sense?
Self-design. Yeah.
Where the blue card is the blue card in front
of you. The two fellow leads to.
Just for the record, you know how I feel about taking away parking from people's folks' house. I understand this is only for a very short period of time. For one day, I can stomach that, but I can agree, and I can agree with your motion. That's the way I'm going to vote. But anything more than that, I wouldn't be able to support it.
Do I need to restate the motion to understand?
everybody gets close to
this. We all get it. Okay, last comment before we vote. This is also appealable for the next 20 days. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
5-0. Thank you. So that means after 20 days, if it's not appealed, then the signs will probably go up within 10 days. I'll ask again if anybody is here for either of the handicap parking spaces on Walnut Street. So then we'll move on to item 5011. This is Alderman Danberg, Blazer, and Shapiro on behalf of Mary Costanza of 53 Lake Avenue. Requesting no parking between the driveway of 51 Lake Avenue and south to the curb at Cronin Cove, Crystal Lake, and examination of other potential traffic calming measures to make the Cronin Cove area of Lake Avenue safer for pedestrians and those entering and exiting the driveway. Alderman Danberg, did you want to start off the discussion?
I'm going to listen to the presentation first. The three aldermen in Ward 6 have documented this on behalf of Bobby Costanza, and I think that we will listen to what your recommendations are at all.
Jim, do you want to go through your presentation?
So this is Lake Avenue. It's shown here at Beach Street to the north of Wall Street to the west. Interesting thing, there are no signs that show that the legal speed in this portion of the shown in green Lake Avenue is 15 miles an hour. Through here it is 35 miles an hour. And I understand that there aren't any signs that say that that will be corrected. I didn't even realize that until I was doing some background study on this, that is the state permit for the section of the road. As all of us know, that there's no parking allowed on the outside portion of Lake Avenue. There is a 2-hour limit on the west side as you go towards Beach Street. But as you get into the curve and around, there's no parking allowed. This is more or less the spaces that we're talking about here. It's between the driveway. On the curve, you can see one car parked here in the photo. There's another space in front of it. You can see there's a sign that says 2-hour parking, and there's a sign that says no parking beyond the sign. When a car does park here, what it does is it more or less creates the car that left it goes south. You're kind of moving to the opposing travel lane. And I believe that's the reason why this is kind of adopted. Because as you can see, if you're going in the opposite direction, you wouldn't know a car would park there. You wouldn't know a car would be potentially concealing. We did some traffic and crash data through here. This section of Lake Ave is about almost 1,200 vehicles per day. Your median speed is 27 miles an hour. Your 80% speed is 30 miles an hour. Obviously, those numbers are above what the legal speed limit is. However, obviously, people don't know the speed limit, so there are any signs out there. There was only one reported crash over the five-year crash period. That occurred in 2009. It was a single vehicle crash with a collision with a tree. It's property of the gentleman, no injury. So we didn't have, thankfully, any instances of any head-on collisions or side collisions going through that corner. Like I said, DPW, we're going to go out and do our job. We're going to add the speed limit signage. We're also adding some curb warning signage to that. We're doing that at the same time.
Thank you. So we're going to open public comment. So we did get 5 emails that I'm going to summarize for the record. The first one is from 51 Lake Avenue, and Jim, can we just point out that house? This is right on the corner. Can you also point where the restriction is requested? So it's right in front of the driveway to this house. They write, "We would like to express our strong opposition to the request you have received to remove the 2 parking spaces next to our driveway at 51 Lake Avenue. We've lived at 51 Lake Avenue for almost 12 years and have never witnessed a collision at this size, nor have we observed any recent increases in traffic volume or speed that justify a change to the current parking regulations. Parking is already severely restricted on Lake Avenue, and we rely on these parking spaces to enable our guests to park. We do acknowledge that the bend at this location is sharp. However, if the council feels that there is a need to take action, we would suggest introducing warning signs at either side of it, urging cars to slow down, and or a mirror to improve visibility, rather than depriving residents and visitors of on-street parking. We are always careful when exiting our driveway because of its proximity to the bend, whether or not there are cars parked in the spaces, and we will, of course, continue to do so. We very much regret that we will not be able to attend the May 31st hearing in person, but we trust that you will take our views into account. We also received an email from 104 Lake Avenue, who they write, "We strongly agree with the need for parking regulation on Lake Avenue. As residents of Lake Avenue, we daily encounter cars parked in such a way access lock. We daily encounter parked cars in such a way to make it hazardous to drive home, and walking in that area becomes dangerous. The bumper-to-bumper parking often extends to the corner of Crystal Street."
Crystal Street.
Where's Crystal Street?
Next street on.
Okay. "Impeding driveways and frequently making it difficult or impossible to get into or back out of our driveway."
Very well.
Okay. Then we have 30 Lake Avenue. Does anyone know what 30 Lake Avenue is? Hoffman.
Hoffman.
Okay. 30 Lake Avenue, "We support a partial ban on parking, the elimination of two spaces from the driveway belonging to 51 Lake Avenue, going forward to the lake. The reason for this is safety. One, it is dangerous and difficult to turn into and get out of my driveway when there are cars parked across the street, cars coming quickly around the corner from Newton Highland end of Lake Avenue, and pedestrians on the sidewalk going to the coast. Cars have hit our wall at 30 Lake Avenue several times a year. There is no room to maneuver a car if you need to swerve. Two, in addition, parents are now dropping their kids off at the school bus that parks in front of 51 Lake Avenue and stay in their cars until the bus arrives." Okay. Then we have an email from 57 Lake Avenue. Okay. "I live at 57 Lake Avenue and believe this measure is necessary because of the great restriction on visibility that is inherent in this term. If cars are parked on the right side of the street approaching this bend for Beacon Street, it's necessary to swing out into the opposite lane to avoid them. Previously, there had been a 15-mile-an-hour speed sign at this bend, but I noticed that this muffin has been removed." Okay. So then we have an email from 15 Moreland Avenue, which is further down to the west. "I live on Moreland Avenue and drive around the corner many times a day. I've often witnessed the near misses of people being hit while getting out of their parked cars between Beacon Street and the curb on Lake Avenue. It's particularly dangerous during May to September when many, many people are trying to go to the park and to the lake." So now we're going to open up the public comment period. Anybody in the room wishes to make a comment, just say your name and your address. Yes.
Hi, I'm Mary Costanza. I live at 63 Lake Avenue. And I just wanted to mention that two people, Shane.
Can you point out your house?
Yes, my house is this house. Shane has signed our petition, and the other people who signed it are the and what prompted this was the concern of safety to the people who are driving cars in those corners, and they certainly don't go 15 miles an hour. And safety to the pedestrians who are trying to get across the street at this point, which is not a good place to get across the street. And they explain this. And then for people who go out and written letters, trying to get out of the driveway, for example, when I try to get out, I can't I can't see what's coming around the corner. Sometimes it's not so bad in winter because the trees and stuff are there. So what happens is, and I think that James has described some of it, but I took some pictures. It didn't take me long to get reminded.
Okay. Well, these are cards. I'll just keep these for the record.
You can have them.
Okay, thank
you. Actually, I sent them to you before. You have them already. That you can... You can see the car coming out to pass the parked car, swinging into the opposite lane, basically. And here's another one. And although you might measure it and say, this is a three-car road, in point of fact, when people pass the parked car, they pull out a little bit farther than that, so it really isn't. And here's one that clearly shows you what's going on.
Isn't there no parking on the opposite side of the street?
That's correct. They're coming the other way. Right?
That's
the car is coming this way.
Okay, so this vehicle's going around another park car, is that what you're saying?
No. The cars that are parked here. This fellow's coming around and taking a swing and he's in the wrong lane. Which is would be very unfortunate.
We're talking about the operator of the motor vehicle, not the
black car. Well, in this case, if a car were coming the other direction, that car would be also in a head-on collision because they would be facing him.
Because of this operator, though, right?
In part. But the problem is, if you look at the other pictures, when people are coming from the other direction, they usually swing out into the wrong lane. So there's both sides are doing the wrong thing. And this one, for those of you who are quite systematic, shows... shows a car coming, crossing the lane, another car coming from the other direction, and a poor woman on a bicycle who is playing a phrase. And I think one of those pictures also shows the damage wall that's often as possible. And the other problem is that this problem is kind of interesting. One is obviously at rush hours when you have a lot of traffic, a lot more chance of problems. Compounded by people speeding, and they do speed. They get particularly the ones that are coming down this road, they have a good head of speed as they zip around the corner. And another kind of compounded because the access to launching your boat is right here. So what happens is if someone wants to launch their boat and they park, then they park on this side of the street and obstruct that, but then people have to get on the traffic, move into the oncoming and grab it as fast as past them. And that's also where a lot of people park to let off passengers who want to come to the boat.
Do these houses to the left where the blue areas, are their driveways?
This one's over here?
First one right there?
This one here is 51, has an enormous driveway. It could probably...
It's off of where?
This is off... This is a driveway. There are two cars. You can clearly park almost three cars in this driveway.
And what's the house after that?
The house after this one has this huge driveway here. But this is somebody who doesn't want those spaces to move. This person has a drive. This person wants the spot for more than having a drive in the back. And this house has a large parking space to get on the and I have a drive for the bridge.
And that's just the final thing again. Oh, is the whole problem is compounded by the fact that the lake is treasure and it's beautiful. And when people come around the corner, and when I took this one, you know, within about 20 minutes, half of the people who were zooming around the corner from Beacon Street, when they came around the corner, A, they were on the wrong, in the wrong lane, and B, they were looking at the lake. So the fact that there hasn't been a fatality, a horrible crash,
Okay, thank you. Have a comment.
Sorry.
for Gregory, 96 Lake Ave. I use it frequently to get to Newton Center, and I actually became very involved in advocacy groups about the lake because of traffic issues. While I've not hit anybody, I've hit it enough near head-on because of the cars parked in the vicinity, and it used to be worse. The people would park around the corner because there was a sign missing a couple of years ago that was restored. And, you know, I certainly sympathize. I'd like to have parking more available because we have access to our villages and our resources. But, you know, I can't argue that the increase in safety by removing those two spaces would really be a benefit for the community.
Tyler?
I'll have to I'm around that corner all the time. A lot of this pedestrian and this other traffic. And as Greg said, there is it. There's lots of room that's appear. I have on Saturday. Really don't have a Saturday. Yeah. Back coming around, my friend is dead. The back home from Regent Street. As Mary said, Sharon walked up the lane. And going quite fast, too. Always right up against the curb, so I missed the opportunity. It happens all the time. And especially with the recent outbreak of swimming in Crystal Lake, here at Climbers Cove,
calming the traffic by having parking for the
darker artists are going to go for. The product is not reduced. The product is back. He has a very sharp left or right behavior. The car is parked across the street. Now, I've got the same problem I had on the last year. I couldn't even see it. It's a small car. And the nature of that area is the parents dropping kids off, stopping the car, because the other cars are late. And if you allow parking on either side of that blue strip, you have a fair chance of letting little kids where people can't see them between the cars. It's a very difficult trip. Whatever you do with a parked car, and I guess if I were to make it so far as I am. On the other side of this, something really up about the snow line, right? Probably below 30 miles. Probably not. 15 miles an hour used for many years, and you can see it all the way to the other side of the place. Very few people like that story. But there is. There are signs that
I think we're done with public comments at this point. Thank you all for your comments. We're going to bring the discussion to members of Traffic Council. I'll start out. Do you want to start out?
I just had two questions for the neighbors that are there. School bus. Is it the Newton school bus that's dropping off and picking up, or is it a private school?
Public school. And they also pick up, there's one that stops over here, I guess, which I don't see. There's one that stops right here, right around the corner. Every day, and
it's about to pick up,
and it's
about to...
Sure,
it's student public schools.
Yes.
So it's a middle school pickup or a high school pickup?
We could talk to Regina Moody, the transportation planner, and that could be relocated.
Four of the school towns, the sons where it's now, south right at the intersection of the Wall Street.
Is that South Sophia Center?
Yes.
Yes.
Public school bus stop. And the car is coming down to the highway again. Came around that curve very fast. The kids on all sides. I think some of the stuff can be a problem. That's why they're moving.
Okay, so we can have a discussion with the school transportation plan about the location of that stop. Do you have a second question, Sergeant Bethel?
No, I'll pass some common efforts.
Okay. So when I thought about this, I thought of a very similar location that came to Traffic Council twice in the past year, which is the very sharp 90-degree curve on Robin Street, right next to the Lincoln Elliott School. Do you guys remember that discussion? Which a very busy area right in front of the Lincoln Elliott School, that there was a request to remove parking because of concerns about vehicles being able to get through. So they came to Traffic Council, we agreed, and we at first removed parking along both sides of the elbow, the inside of the elbow and the outside of the elbow, do you remember? And then we heard from a resident who lived there that actually didn't have a driveway, that wanted to add parking back, and we weren't sure, so we called the fire department to come through and to see if they can make it through, and they were able to. That's narrower than this curve, much narrower. So, and we're thinking about emergency vehicles, and we're supposed to be thinking about how safe is it. So if you think about what ended up happening there, we removed parking on the inside of the elbow and added parking on the outside of the elbow in that spot. So I wanted to throw that out there to see if you guys, you know, what other members of Traffic Council think about removing those two spots but adding them on the outside of the elbow.
Just a question, we'll talk about that if something.
Right, we're more able to be, I mean, if the issue is visibility, that outside of the elbow is clearly visible in both directions.
In the road, it is wider, it's right there.
What is the road width right on this photo here?
It's 24 feet wide right here.
And at, after the turn, it's 23.
It's like 23. There's not curving on throughout it, so the edge of pavement for a little bit, it makes it a little narrow.
John, what's the comment on that? I think the line of sight is certainly obviously better on the outside than on the inside. If you're talking about relocating the two spaces in question from the inside to the outside, from any approach you would see those vehicles parked. So from that standpoint, I would agree that if you're going to have the parking, we could start over again. I think we could start with putting it on the outside. That's it.
Well, Peter, your idea, I disagree. It does not have any cars there. It's a bend. People drive. When they see cars there, they're coming in now over the tall double yellow line. They're not going to hug the right where a car is, so they don't want to hit it. So now they're hugging the left. Now you get something coming at you the other way. So, personally, no disrespect, I don't agree with that idea. I'd rather just kill all no parking all the way down to Beacon Street so we have no problems with bus stops, no parking. I mean, I feel the pain of the people that live there, but they have a driveway. I just really rather make it just an easy flow on both sides. People are driving, respect this side of the road, stay within the yellow line. It's too dangerous of a curve, number one, to be parking there. I've never seen this before, but it should have been doubled a long time ago. In the short span from Beacon Street to that span, between bicyclists, kids on bikes, people walking, I'd just rather have no parking on both sides. So make that all blue that's blue now, all red.
The whole
stretch.
Yeah.
Well, my question earlier was, the two houses that are affected are driveways. And when you come, when you have the four-way crosswalk, you come into it, and there's always people that are parking on the right side, which is no parking. They sit on the lawn. They're waiting for their kids or they're doing something. And so now you have someone halfway on the street, halfway on the sidewalk. So if you kill both sides, it's easier for us to come in and enforce it. That way there's no restrictions. No one's coming on the double solid line. No one's taking the bend and turn. It just makes it easier for the police department to have a safe haven for people going. And I'm not going to talk about 215-25. It just makes it clear the way you're doing it. The two houses that are affected the most, driveways that they can put their friends and everyone else inside the driveway.
I think everybody has a different opinion on this.
That's fine. I'm looking at it from the police perspective, safety.
Other comments? Alderman Denver.
Oh, thank you. I would not ask for anyone to the outside of the elbow. Because right here, on the elbow, the entrance to staff on the code area. There are people coming in and out at all times. I think that if we have parking there, it would mask that entrance if it would, if anything, create a dangerous situation. As far as whether there should be parking where the blue line is, I can see the value of removing the parking from the two spots closest to the elbow. I don't really have an opinion on the other side of the driveway, the driveway in Beacon Street, and then pull them into the
Just go back to the slide that shows the street. Are you having me backwards? Backwards Beacon Street? You have cars from that line backwards, you're still going over the double solid line, which is illegal. It's $100. If I'm going to put police officers there, they're going to start whacking neighbors and visitors. So you're still coming in, and then your approach is coming into the curb.
it makes no sense why we would allow parking on that side, even though it's convenient for the people that want to go to the lake or to the neighborhood. I mean, you eliminate any problems for anybody traveling down that road. I'm surprised there hasn't more issues. People coming down this road and having car accidents on their car. For number of car accidents?
Yeah.
Well, I can get it, but,
you don't remember anything.
No, I have, what we get is people that are under 1,000, the mirrors get clicked, and they call us for advice. What are we supposed to do? We just tell them to file a police report. Some don't. But it's a lot of clicking of mirrors, because it's all close contact. I'm just concerned that the mirror comes into a head-on or more, so that's, my concern is the width of the road, which Jim's saying is 23 feet wide, which I understand, but now you put a car there, the normal person does not hug the right where a car is, they want to get away from it. If you're there, you know what I'm talking about, people go to the, away from it, and now you're on the other side of the lane.
This lane is that two tires are going to be off on those, plus those all around.
Even the cruiser that comes down there, he's going to hug the left, man. I mean, it's common sense. You don't want to hug the right, you don't want to... You don't want to hit them near a car. So even if they're coming off of Beacon Street, coming into that railway, and we eliminate those parking spaces but allow the ones further down, they're still hugging the left.
Hello.
Just a couple issues here. The 23-foot with the double yellow. There are other locations in Newton where we have similar roadway with double yellow. We have allowed parking on one side or the other. And just to travel in the, along, I'll just say, Church Street westbound along Farwell Park, you can't do it without crossing the double yellow all day long. Because it's a 3-hour parking limit along the park. So, fear making my further opinion before I hear Jay out on removal of parking, but there's a case where I ride it every day and I see it's, and I believe there's an ordinance already on the book that that's an illegal practice, and yet the city condones parking that limits it to 3 hours, and not there it is. So, I mean, this brings up a bigger issue in the city. I came in with a viewpoint on this. I looked at it. I mean, parked there, and thinking that there's a need for parking, people know me, I always tend to defer to what is safer resolution. And it does from this photo and from the, you can imagine the outside parking, which I think, David, that it would just be line of sight, you could see the outside cars parking. It would be the same geometry, or rather be the same capacity of roadway, but it would be safer, at least in my view, because you could see cars parked on the right hand side. I'm not recommending that, but so I'm agreeing with David that would be, we're starting over, that would be where we put the car. Because this parking to me in this photo, I parked right there, it does appear dangerous. In fact, it is illegal, I think, by ordinance, as it should be. Now, Jay, you talk about removing parking all the way up to Beacon Street, both sides as well.
Well, the one side's already there, but what's happening now is people are parking off the park on the sidewalk in the berm.
Yep.
And waiting.
Yep.
That's what they're waiting for, I have no idea. So I've driven by it a couple times.
There's a live parking museum, so whatever, ready? So now we're talking about removing more parking. Now I think I want to hear Jake.
I don't know what I feel about parking in front of people's houses. This, in particular, isn't in front of their house. This is on the side of the house. Their house fronts the lake, correct?
Think of the front?
Yeah. The driveway fronts
the driveway. The driveway is that side, which it appears they have a lot of parking. the other folks on the other side signed your petition, am I right? Same, the folks that live in the big driveway there on the corner of Beacon Street?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They signed your petition. Okay, so if they're not inclined to be, you know, against schools and parking in front of their house, then who am I to say anything about that? The other folks, it's not in the front of their house. It's over by the driveway, so I can agree with what the sergeant has said. I don't like seeing any parking taken away in front of folks at all. That's personally the way I feel. But these folks here, like you said, they don't care about it. And the frontage of these people's house here has no parking anyway, so that's not going to change anything there. It's to the side. We got a big driveway. I don't have any problem with it.
I'd be in favor of removing these two spaces. I wouldn't be in favor of removing the rest of them up towards the Beacon Street.
Okay. All right. So I'd like to make a motion, which I think is going to fail, but I'm going to make it anyway, and then you can make another motion after that. I'll make a motion to approve the removal of these two spaces and to add two spaces on the outside of the elbow. Okay. Anyone like to comment before we vote on that?
I already did.
Okay. All in favor of that motion, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. So that motion fails. Would anyone else like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the removal of parking as described in the document item, which is just those two spaces.
Okay. So there's a motion to approve the request. So I guess it's a motion of approval, right? To remove the two parking spaces. Comments? All in favor say aye. Aye. No? All in favor of the motion,
wait,
aye.
Can we... I guess I have to be in favor just against the law. I mean, you cannot legally... Can we go to the ordinance on parking? Could this be allowed at all? Maybe this is our point. Could parking be allowed on both sides at all on a 23-foot street with the double yellow?
Someone crossed the double yellow solid line, it's $100 fine. I'll carry.
Is there an order?
Massachusetts general law allows obstruction. When there's an obstruction on the roadway, you can go around the obstruction. A parked car is not an obstruction. So it's $100
to find what the obstruction is.
Well, I mean, like, the city is working on the roadway. That's an obstruction. It's an active obstruction. A parked car is not an obstruction. So technically, you need a scooter to get by that.
I will say that if this is the reason why we're removing parking, then just as for instance, down at Walnut Street, any street that gets out should have parking on either side, because what you're saying is the road itself is Walnut Street, for instance, which is much wider than Lake Ave, is not wide enough to have a car parked along one side and another car to go around it without crossing over the double yellow center line.
Let alone two lanes to park.
Right, because like what Jerome said earlier, every car along Carlo Park would be...
It's not the only reason.
Now, what I'm stressing is safety of individuals who are driving the car, coming down that street, to the bend. So my thing is, you're making comments that the people coming around the bend, coming fast from the Highlands, you can't pick up enough speed coming off Beacon Street to be that fast going around that corner. You might pick up 15, maybe 20 miles an hour, but you're not picking up 30, 40 miles an hour from Beacon Street to where that car is parked. What I'm saying is to make it a safe roadway to get around that bend, my point is eliminate the parking. I don't know who parks up there. I don't know if it's the neighborhood or the people who are visiting or the people that go to the lake. But you're creating a safe haven of roadway for that particular spot. That's my intent of eliminating the parking. I'm not trying to
they go over the WL sideline. I mean, everyone does it. It's throughout the whole state of Massachusetts and part of the country. I'm just saying that this particular area, it's a dangerous curve, dangerous spot. The neighbors are saying that the cars are coming around the corner. They're the ones visualizing it, not us. We're not there every day. And all I'm saying is for the cars to come this way, you get less interaction, but going over the solid line and interacting with someone else's path. That's my intent here. I'm not trying to say that we're going to whack everybody or everyone's a bad driver because they go over the solid line. No, it happens. I'm just looking for a safe haven and roadway to get to that corner.
So we have a motion right now to remove parking along those two spaces. Maybe we should see if there's a broader motion first to see if that passes before we vote on this.
Someone wants to make a motion to have a second, you know, to put a second front on there or something and restrict the rest of the parking they can.
So we do have a motion to approve the docketed item that would remove parking at these two parking spots. Any last comments? Jerome.
So at the outside corner, which I agree with you, because it's 24 feet, but we have the same problem. You have to cross double yellow. So,
okay. Are we ready to vote?
I'm going to reiterate the issue of the possibility of adding parking on that, although there's a bush on the right to right the parked car, even so addressed, that clearly obscures the view of the cars coming in the opposite direction. For the other reason, so I think that would create a dangerous situation here. The other thing is that it is pleasant to be able to look at the lake when you come around that corner. And everybody does it. That would obscure the view of the lake in addition to obscuring the entrance, the pedestrian entrance to that whole upfront and so, which children and all kinds of people
coming
in and out of the world. I don't think it's a good idea.
I agree. That would fail.
Let's move on to the motion at hand, which is to approve the document item. Are we ready to vote?
Do the comments on this.
Yes.
If it is wider, 24th Street down around the corner, and we know it's beautiful, we see every other photograph of every driver's happens not to be on the phone at that time and they're looking out at the lake, which is nice. But you know, removing parking on the weekends and 2 hours, but maybe we have to because it is illegal already. So that's why I'm uncomfortable with, you know, we can vote on this. Can we add parking along the lakefront? Relocate it. We were talking about relocating to the outside of the corner. Now, can we locate it along the fence line of the lake itself, where it's wider and it's in a straight line?
I don't think anyone's considered that so far.
That's why I'm putting it out there, because I know the motion is it's just to remove the two spaces as docketed, but there's a concern about, I have a concern about voting on that, knowing now the roadway width and double yellow and the law. But if around the corner it's straight and it's a 24-foot street, then we could allow a parking there. Well, we don't have parking there now. Right now, eliminating all parking for on Lake Street, in this area for use.
So we have a motion. We have a motion
that's what this
right now, which is very specific, which is to approve the document item. And I think we should vote on it. And all in favor, say aye.
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 So that passes. So that item passes 3-2. So the docket item passed. It's subject to a 20-day appeal period. It could be appealed by any alderman or group of residents. Yeah, Jim?
I make a comment because part of this is also common with speeding.
Yeah.
The speeding part is just an item. Let me put up the sign and let me collect more data signs probably won't have a great effect, but at least, you know, there is the, you know, Massachusetts, if you're in a thickly settled area and there isn't any signage, speed limit 30 miles an hour. Maybe having new signs up that remind drivers that that one section 15, the other section 25, will collect more data, see how that is. It's still a problem. We can come back and discuss ways to, you know, talk, you know, if the speeds are still the same, then this area would qualify for you know, us doing traffic calming measures. We can come back and discuss specific traffic calming measures at that time.
Okay. So, if there's no appeal by June 20th, the sign should be going up 10 days after that. Okay. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, Church.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Thank you. Can we take a quick break? And then we'll come back to the two handicaps.
Can
we There you go. Okay, so we're going to postpone the nominations and elections to the Traffic Council Chair.
Well, I already nominated you. Watch that.
I'm still going to postpone the discussion. I'm not sure if I'm going to accept the nomination. No.
I nominate Sergeant
Matt.
I tried. So let's just...
I'll come back.
So we're not going to hear this on June 14th because it's going to be too difficult and long of a meeting as it is.
Okay.
Be prepared for a very long meeting on June 14th.
July, forget it. I can't be here. July, I can't be here.
Can we find someone else on the committee that's going to sign? We have a lot of important stuff we've got to get to.
Dave, why are we having summer meetings?
Should we take this off of?
It's not on.
Okay. It is. Let's take this right off. HP 411 Cornelia Kane Hurt, 74 Walnut Street, requesting handicap parking space in front of 974 Walnut Street. This was the Commission on Disability denied this request, and we held it in February. We held it pending the result of the removal of parking on Walnut Street.
All right.
Which we now have a vote on, but we don't know whether it's going to be appealed or not.
That being said, I think you have a vote for presentation together next week. I mean, this is for us, this is the kind of space that she's asked for. If I remember correctly, her thought was looking backwards and she was pulling out. She said if parking was not allowed, she wouldn't. That she would be all
right
pulling out. So, I mean, even if the field and parking is back in, there's very rarely any cars that where park breaks are around. There was one that there once in a while, but that seems more like a neighbor issue to me. I don't know if that justifies the granting of the handicap parking.
Okay. Hold it until the appeal process.
We could either hold it, we could NAN it, we can deny it.
Can you NAN it? I mean, the fact that the Commission on Disability denied it.
It's the first time they ever denied something, I think.
I'd like to make a motion to deny.
Okay. So we have a motion to deny this request. There's no appeal on it. And it would be a one-year wait to redocket it.
I have a question. So if the vote from the 4-1 vote from PC 6711 gets appealed, where does it go from there?
It goes to PSNC.
And how long does it make the turn?
If it gets appealed, when do you think you would take it up?
Is this the appeal by?
By June 20th. You're not going to have a July meeting, I take it.
No way.
Or August. So September.
If we say vote on yours and it's approved, then that spot is denied for 1 year.
But there is the outset that other significant information comes to light. I'm denying the fact that parking is not going to, you know, even that parking is not allowed there. If somebody's going to get appealed and the full board allows parking there again, she can come back.
We denied it on West Street, and then we gave it to him.
That's right. So
you can do that.
Yeah. Well, if we have new information, which we would,
yeah.
the board overturns our vote.
Yeah.
That's new information.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So that's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
We can
vote
that way.
So are we ready to vote? All in favor of a denial?
Just have a question. Does she want a space there because she has trouble pulling out of her driveway and she doesn't want anybody else parking there? Or does she want to park there?
She has problems where she can't look behind her.
The way it described to me is that she had difficulty looking back, pulling out of her driveway. So there's a car parked on the street. She can also, I think, park on the street, so she wouldn't have to try to look past that car that was still parked there. If there's no car there, then she can pull it out.
She's got no issue mind.
Can she put one of those round mirrors to make it easier for her to see?
Anytime anyone asks me if they can put a mirror up, I always say that I'm not the mirror department.
Uh-huh.
If we're not going to make it take it down, people will know.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it up myself.
We don't regulate those, do we?
Isn't it a structure in the setback?
I think if your mirror had, disco lights on,
I would go with the Commission on Disabilities on it.
Okay. You're right, exactly.
Which
denies. We have precedent here where the commission denies and the petition, we don't take action, or we deny it as in turn.
Mm-hmm.
So we
never have to deny it.
The first one the commission met is denied.
That's it. Okay. I have a question with the
list. I don't remember them denying it. It might have been one, but I don't recall.
I thought I remembered one.
At most, they recommend a different location. They recommend a different location.
Yeah, like Walnut Street.
Over by the high school.
Yeah.
In the end, though, in that appeal.
Either way.
And the
ankle
come back,
tonight's
supposed to be not for at least a year.
But unless
you have
to do it. You can show all the handicap
seating, and if you're going to make it, you can read down.
So I think it makes sense for... Yeah, we did with the foot doctor on West Street. Yeah.
We remember him well.
Yeah.
All in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
Well, we actually agreed on something tonight.
Don't approve.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
We have one more item.
Is it Ward 6?
Yes, it is.
Ward 6, nice.
This is HP 112, Gertrude Reed, 1083 Walnut Street, parking space in front of 1083 Walnut Street. This one we never heard, the Commission on Disability never took a position.
So this is 1083 right here. I believe that Daniel is correct. They were asking for a parking space on the Walnut Street. This is that corner outside of Walnut. They wanted a space right in front of the block that was supposed to be their house. Which would be somewhere I shouldn't be, which is that case right there. Somewhere in this area right here. Obviously, right now, we restricted parking through there.
Not on that side, though.
On both sides.
On both sides.
Oh, that's right.
That's so okay. They are corner lots, so they have both sides of here. This is their garage. That's where the lot is. There's a door right there that's to the side, and there's a little gate that's here as well.
Is that the driver on Walnut? Is that on the hillside?
The driver is on Walnut.
This is looking left towards Walnut right here. It's my preference, even if you had parking available on Walnut Street, to probably put the handicap spot on Hillside. It's not much. But again, the applicant's not here, and we didn't get any word from the accessibility, so.
Right. And they didn't ask for a handicap parking space on Hillside.
Yeah. So, again, my personal feeling on this is that
they can redock it for Hillside.
Yeah, I'd redock it for Hillside.
They can either redock it for Hillside, or if they really want Walnut Street and the appeal goes through and gives a return, they can come back and redock it.
And they won't have to because it's been, we get new information.
Yeah. Of course, their driveway is on Hillside and the driveway is right there. So,
motion for denial.
All in favor of denial, say aye.
Aye.
5-0 denial. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. 9:30. That's good.
Oh, we're off.
Yeah.